In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
Now, back to the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Jones and Keith coming up at 10, and we can get out of here and get ready for Thanksgiving. And I hope you all have an extraordinary day tomorrow, whether you're going to football or whether you're just doing family stuff and getting the food ready, and a great weekend. Of course, we will be back on Monday at Gillette Stadium with Gerard Mayo and with Boomer Esiason on a Patriots Monday. This is Steve in the car. Hello, Steve. Steve? Okay.
Gosh.
I believe Steve is... Oh, wait. Steve, you there?
I'm here.
What's up, Steve?
Sorry. So, am I on?
Yeah.
So, what I don't understand is if we have the best organization on the planet, or in your eyes, if you're Kraft, that's you have the best organization, you'd want the best person managing it. And Mayo hasn't proven himself to be a great. He was supposed to be the best at defense, and the defense isn't that strong this year. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been a great organizer or having people follow him, and he doesn't have the best people around him. So at this point, I would want someone more like a Harbaugh or Vrabel, someone that's going to come in, command respect, and be organized and do the best job.
But, Steve, I would say, do you think the Rams knew they had the best coach when they hired McVay? Do you think that the Lions knew that they had the best coach when they hired Dan Campbell? Do you think the Texans knew they had the best guy when they hired DeMeco Ryans?
No, but at the same time, the strength that we have is the quarterback, and he's an offense.
Right. The Texans' strength is their quarterback.
We don't have a strong anything on the offense.
Right.
I mean, I would think if you want to be more like Dallas, then... and have Jerry Jones be the dominant person there, then that's what you're looking at, being the Patriots the way they are now.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, listen, Wiggy has an argument, and that is that this is the way it goes when it comes to all rookie coaches in the NFL. I think that, and that's a valid point. I think it also is a valid point that with some of the rookie coaches that Curtis is referencing, I think most of them had at least been coordinators before being elevated to head coach.
Well, Gerard Mayo was a coordinator. I mean, he didn't call the plays, but
he was not the defensive coordinator on the football team. He was not.
Yeah, but Dan Campbell wasn't the coordinator.
Okay, well then, great. That was one point I was making that might be an accurate point. Forgive me.
Sean McVay wasn't a coordinator. He was, I'm sorry.
Yeah, with the Washington Redskins at the time.
Right.
I would say this. Like, there are a lot of things that he's done wrong. But I think if you look at teams that weren't very good under a first-year head coach, you could probably find very similar things for all these teams. My thing is how can you just be like, all right, he needs to go? Because then what we become is we become the Carolina Panthers with their owner, the Tepper guy there, where it's just like, this guy doesn't do well, get him out of there, get a new guy in. He doesn't do well in a year, get him out of there, get a new guy in. We don't know what he would be in year number two.
And remember when we were all disagreeing with Joe Mazzulla and wanted him out of here after his first year? If we had gotten our way with that, we probably wouldn't have the success that we've seen with the team since. And we saw such a big jump from Joe Mazzulla from year one to year two. Yes, the talent is way better when it comes to a Celtics roster instead of a Patriots roster, but you just got to hope and pray that they're being honest when they say this offseason they're really willing to give Jerod Mayo the tools to make it a better program.
But it is interesting to see how quick people will turn on you, because I would love to find some of these stories and articles about how so many people wanted Mayo, where they're like, great Kraft took him away from Carolina. Mayo's the best coach. He should be the next. He's the up-and-coming.
To be fair, Wiggs, when they hired him, it wasn't
I'm saying before they hired him. Like, remember,
for a defensive coaching
role. Remember the stories? Because you and I even argued about this. Remember I was like Steve Belichick and you were like Mayo?
Right.
Remember the stories that they were like, well, I'm glad he didn't do the interview because...
Oh, yeah. People were celebrating that he didn't leave to take an opportunity elsewhere to stay on the coaching staff.
Right, because they knew or they felt like he was going to be the next great head coach.
Right, he was the mentor in waiting.
I mean, it's going to be a pretty incredible accomplishment if Robert Kraft, 5 years ago, after just winning a Super Bowl with Bill Belichick as your head coach, was able to identify a guy on your coaching staff who was going to be a great head coach in the NFL. So much so that you didn't interview anybody else.
Right.
And that you were willing to create dysfunction in your organization, theoretically, by anointing him, promising him that he was going to be the next head coach.
Right.
I mean, that is going to be, that is certainly Hall of Fame worthy. If that is what turns out to be true.
That's a little bit questionable. Like, that part I'll agree with you.
Okay. That, like, we're making a little progress.
Like, that I'll agree with you on anybody. Like, all right, so Bill gives him an opportunity to be a coach. So Mayo goes from the business world to come in coaching. And then what is that? 3 years into his coaching, because, you know, when he said this, well, Mayo's only been in the league coaching like 8 years. So 3 years in, he knows as like an inside linebackers coach, like, all right, this is the guy. Hey, that's a little bit like, all right, maybe you like some of the things you do. I think it's more because you play for the organization and you see him in the building a lot.
Mike Vrabel played for the organization.
But remember,
also, he
didn't like Vrabel, because remember what Vrabel said about
Patriot Place.
So that
he liked him enough to have him up in the in his box.
Yeah, but not to hire him.
Commenting on the how the offense, how Mac Jones was, and how the offense.
But remember, it was too late by then. He had already leaked out. This Mayo's the guy.
Well, didn't leak it out. They sent it out in a letter to everybody.
Right. But we kind of knew about it, right?
But don't you think you really just have to be lucky and good as a coach? Like, all these different guys that were able to turn it around, if Mo Lewis hits Bledsoe in week 13 instead of week 2, maybe Bill's gone.
Yeah.
Like, it's his second chance. He didn't get the job done in Cleveland, and he was 5-13 here. So if this team can finally draft and bring in receivers that have hands, then maybe Mayo's the guy. I will say that the thing that concerns me, and it's like 2/3 of the respondents don't want Mayo back, which is shocking to me, in the poll at The Greg Hill Show on X.
What percentage?
2/3. I think it's 60. Let me just get to it. So it's
not shocking to me, because it's a lot of people are talking about
70% say they do not want him back.
Yeah, I believe that.
The way in which Jerod Mayo has handled himself and the issues in communication. Whether it is at training camp, asked if the offensive line is the reason why May is not starting, saying no. Then on our show, when May's in there, he said, yeah, we had to wait for the offensive line to get there. The comments about soft, not soft, that whole thing is concerning. But it could also be year one, he's learning on the job. And, you know, that'll be up to be decided later. But the on-the-field stuff is not nearly as concerning to me.
And little bit of breaking news here. Okay. And at first glance, it appears not to be good for the Red Sox. But maybe in a way it will be. It'll end up being good. It seems like Blake Snell is off the table.
Yeah.
The Dodgers. Where do they get the money, Curtis?
Well, yeah.
Five years, $182 million.
They find it out there.
But maybe that means they don't have the money for Juan Soto.
Yeah, that's what I would. They can't get Juan Soto right. After that.
That's why I think it's a good thing, because now the more money that they're spending means, like, all right, and there were reports that the Red Sox did up their offer.
To Juan Soto, yeah.
To Juan Soto. So.
But then Carlos Baerga was all over social media last night basically celebrating that Juan Soto was going to be a Met.
Yeah, like, and he, I mean, Blake
and
Snell,
he said he had inside info.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah, this was late last night. I think that the Red Sox, I like that they don't have Blake Snell. I don't think Blake Snell's worth that amount of money, but get ready to be disappointed. It's going to be, because John Heyman immediately, when this story broke, said, oh, I'm hearing the Red Sox are upping their offer on Max Fried and these guys. So it's like their puppet is out there
telling
everybody that they're all in.
Yeah.
But his commercial he put out was a lot of red and blue Red Sox colors floating all over social media. Juan Soto, whatever, for that Celsius water drink there.
He's wearing a lot of dark blue and then a little bit of red accents.
Yeah, so... I tell you, if the
we can dream.
We can dream. You can always dream.
Greg's a dreamer.
This is Mark from Foxborough. Hello, Mark.
Morning show. Happy Thanksgiving. First off, safe travels if you're traveling. Wiggy, can't believe you didn't have this as number one on your football movie list, The Program.
Brought it up with her. Wiggy did. Yeah. Wiggy loves that movie.
Yeah.
Loves that movie.
Oh, Place at the Table. Steroids, addiction, money to play. I mean, it's got everything. It's one of the best of all time.
It is.
Yeah, that's such
it
a...
Is.
And I would think, like, at first I thought maybe it was when it came out, but then once I saw the original Longest Shot, I was like, all right, this is a movie. Like, this is the movie. And it brought, like, college football to another level. Mm-hmm. They filmed that stadium is South Carolina Stadium, which I played in before, the Gamecocks. But you know what I was going to say, Greg? Damn it. It was a great thing on Mayo, too.
Oh, I bet it was going to be great.
No.
Do you want to... We could try to. We could take a break and try to see if we can bring it back.
Got to rattle the brain.
What was the last thing you were thinking about?
Oftentimes,
my late mother, Susan Hill, would suggest... that if you forgot what you were about to say, it was a lie.
It was a lie?
Yeah. I don't know if that's a tale as old as time, that if you forget what you're about to say, it was...
I feel like you wouldn't forget a lie, because a lie is something you'd be over and over.
It's hard to tell the same lie a bunch of times, so maybe that's why, that's it. All right, well, we'll see if Riggy
Bobby.
We'll see if Riggy...
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Can we remember when we come back?